Okay. That makes two of us. I'm doing good. Tired. Anybody tired? I'm not tired. Are you tired? I take my vitamins. Okay. Can we get some piano? It makes me sound better. All right, well, good morning. If you're tired or not, welcome to One Life Family Worship, and that's what we're going to do this morning is we're going to worship, okay? So why don't we stand together in anticipation of giving God our best? What does it take to please God? Faith. Good answer. I was going to say the same. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So my encouragement this morning is to stand here and worship in faith and let our hearts just radiate everything we have for God. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's put everything else aside, sleepy heads and thoughts of tomorrow and yesterday, experiences. Let's just let it all go. Let's let it all go, and let's just give God everything we have. Let's, in essence, push back darkness, and say, God, here I am. Satan, this is not your territory, not this building, not this heart, not this mind, not this soul. This, every part of me has been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and this morning, I'm going to prove that in the way that I worship, because I'm not going to hold back. If I have to do something a little bit different, if I have to get out of my comfort zone, or if I just have to release every bit of junk, every bit of anything that's holding me back, that right now, this is a morning, I choose to do that, because my Lord, your Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, held nothing back. It is not cliche, it is a fact that His love paid everything. Because of His love, we're here today. Because of His love, we don't have to hold on to things. We don't have to have weights in our lives. So this morning, together, I'm going to pray, and together, we're just going to release everything that is not of God. We're going to let go of it, and we're going to rest in Him. We're going to trust Him this morning. We're going to trust Him to do what He says He'll do, to be who He is in our lives. Amen? So let's pray and let's do this together. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So Heavenly Father, we're coming before You. Pray with me, guys. For crying out loud, pray for me, okay? Pray. God, we bless Your name this morning. Let's lift up a praise to Him. Let's just start by saying who He is to us in our lives. God, You are awesome. We bless Your name this morning. Father, You are wonderful, Lord. I thank You, God. And I pray that this faith that You have given me, that it will rise up this morning, God. That I will, by Your grace, I will push back darkness, God. And I will claim every bit of territory for the kingdom of heaven, Father. The things that bothered me yesterday are no longer. The things that are trying to hold on to from tomorrow, they haven't come yet. So right now and right here, I release it all to You. Relationships, anything that is not of You, God, I release it to You in the name of Jesus Christ. And I claim You as my authority. I claim You as my God and my Lord. Father, You are awesome in this place. You are wonderful in this place. Who agrees with that in here? Who believes that God is God, that He is good, that God is not a liar, and that He's alive and working in our lives? Father, open our eyes to see that, but You are good, Lord. And we just give You this morning and every bit of it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, let's sing it together. Our God will reign forever.
God will reign forever, and all the world will know His name, and everyone together sing the song of the redeemed.
Come on, sing it out.
I know that my Redeemer lives, And now I stand on what he did. My Savior lives. Every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, you are the only way. My Savior lives. The King has come from heaven, and darkness trembles at his name. The victory forever is the song of the redeemed. Oh, I know that my Redeemer lives. Stand on what he did. My Savior lives. And every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, you are the only way. My Savior lives.
Come on, sing that again. I know my Redeemer lives.
I know that my Redeemer lives. And now I stand on what he did. My Savior lives.
Come on, every day.
Every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, you are the only way. My Savior lives.
Come on, my Savior lives.
My Savior. Redeemer lives, and now I stand on what he did. My Savior lives. Every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, you are the only way. My Savior lives.
Last time I know my Redeemer lives.
I know that my Redeemer lives, and now I stand on what he did. My Savior lives.
Every day, oh God,
every day a brand new chance to say, Jesus, you are the only way. My Savior lives.
Yes, come on, let's just give him a great shout of praise. God, you are worthy, Jesus, to be worshipped. God, you are worthy to be glorified, Lord God.
We worship you, God. You are holy.
Come on, let's just lift up our voices.
God, you are holy.
Lift up a voice. Whatever song comes to your heart right now, let's just sing it out to the Lord. There's no words on the screen. It's just from your heart, just from your spirit.
You are holy, holy, Lord. join with heaven and sing, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy, Lord. We join with creation and say, you are.
Just the voices, sing it out to him right now.
You are holy. You are holy. You are holy, Lord.
It resounds in heaven when we sing this to him.
You are holy. You are holy. You are holy.
Louder with all our hearts and all of our voices. Come on.
You are holy.
Yes, you are.
You are holy, Lord. You are holy, Lord.
We sing it all. Praise God.
You are holy. Oh, you are holy. You are.
Last time, Jesus, we sing to you.
You are holy, holy Lord. You are holy. You are holy, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
You are holy. You are.
Church, let's just worship him. Jesus, we love you, Jesus. the thought just comes to my mind where in the Bible it talks about at the sound of his name, literally the mountains tremble. Think about that just for 1 second. At the sound of his name, the mountains tremble. God, we thank you, Jesus.
Mercy reigns. trust the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship His holy name.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul.
soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. Worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name. Sing it out, Lord. I worship Your holy name. We worship You, Jesus. We just love You, Jesus, this morning, Holy Spirit. God, we just come before You and we just want to say thank You for Your presence this morning, Jesus. God, we just ask, God, that Your glory and God, Your God, just Your presence, Jesus, would just even come greater, God, this morning. God, we ask this morning, Jesus, that You would just be poured out. God, be poured out in this place, Jesus. Let's just lift up our hands and our hearts to the Lord this morning. And let's just, with everything within us, let's just give Him glory and honor. God, You're glorious, Jesus. God, You're glorious, Jesus. God, it's easy to come to church and just, God, go through motions and go through, God, well, this is the time we sing songs. This is the time we do this. God, let us not get comfortable, Jesus, by just coming to church and doing the motions, God. But Lord, I pray right now, God, that You would just wreck our hearts. God, that You would wreck our minds, Jesus, that we would not look at Your presence and take it for granted, Lord. God, I just pray right now that You would shake us up, God. God, even the things, God, that have been dormant within our spirit, I pray right now that You would just take Your stir, God, and You would just stir us up, Jesus, that those elements, God, of Your glory and Your presence that have just floated to the bottom, I pray right now, God, it would just begin to surface once again. God, the joy for Your presence, God, would just begin to surface once again. Father, You would just begin to stir us up, Father. God, You're doing it right now. God, You're beginning to stir, God, the deep places of our hearts. God, the deep places of our spirits. God, You're beginning to awaken the dry bones. Holy Spirit, Jesus, we pray that this morning, God, that Your glory, God, would touch every corner of this room, Jesus. From floor to ceiling, God, Your presence, God, would be released in this place. God, that our lives, God, would literally be reflections of the glory of God. Just as Moses, Jesus, on the mount saw the burning bush and he was never the same, Father. I pray that this morning, Jesus, that Your glory would be so bright in this place. God, not only in this moment, but throughout the word, God, throughout Your, Lord, throughout the rest of this service, Jesus, that Your glory would just shine bright in this place, Holy Spirit. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, God. Yes, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
I just have a quick praise report. I just want to thank God for just being real in our lives. And my daughter was really sick last week, and she has really bad eczema, and she was getting to the point where she was bleeding through her clothes. And I took her to the doctor, and it wasn't really helpful, and we brought her to Sal on Wednesday, and I love how God works. You know, it was a really, really cold day, and we weren't going to make it, and I just thought, no, we got to go. And so we brought her to church. And immediately we just prayed for her. Whenever there's a need, Barb's like, drop everything, let's pray. And so we prayed for her. We just prayed for a healing. And I had taken her clothes off to show the girls. She woke up with these huge bumps all over her legs. And so we got home and we continued to pray. As I put the lotion on her, I prayed, and the next morning she woke up and her body was 100 times better.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And it's just a testimony. You know, we're doing communion today. God said that I died on the cross for you. So please take that. Jesus. Take that as you need it. God is here for you, whether it's restoration, whether it's healing, whether it's forgiveness, whatever it may be. He's here today. All you need to do is let him in.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Come on, sing that again. I need you.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need. Teach my song to rise to you when temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Come on, Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. Oh God, how I need.
God, how I need you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if you felt it, but there was just a shift in the spirit. The Lord has just moved in a deeper way. So it's our opportunity to reach out and reach up. Because even though that was a little baby on Wednesday night that we prayed for, the Lord sees every one of us as his baby. And he wants every one of us healed. Not just with scabs. He wants total healing in our spirits. We do need the Lord. We need the Lord. We need the blessing, the trust, and the love that the Father sends and empowers us every day, Lord. Every day we need you. You are our righteousness. Thank you, Lord.
I hope you're starting to learn to just quiet your soul, quiet your thoughts, and just let the peace of God flood over you. When I hear the musicians just play and no words, sometimes my natural thinking says, oh, we need words. We need something to fill this in. But it says in Samuel that all it took was the playing of David's harp to just cause the demonic force that was with Saul to just leave. So you don't know what's happening inside of you, to your being, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon the musicians and they just start playing. You may be receiving a freedom that you've been praying for your whole life. You may be receiving a healing that you've just been needing desperately. It says that in heaven all the time there's worship and praise going on. 24/7, never stops. Thank you, Jesus. We receive your work in our lives this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, children, if you make your way up. We're sending the children down a little early. They're going to come back up in a little bit. We send for them. They're going to join us in communion. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just lift up your children right now, God, to you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for their lives. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work in their lives in this day, Lord, that you're revealing yourself to them. You're showing yourself, Lord, in such a way to them, Lord, they know they can trust you and rely on you. Pray, God, that they would just receive, God, the oneness that they have with you in heaven, Lord. I just thank you. Pray, God, today their hearts and their minds, Lord, be able to receive the word and that they would be encouraged, Lord, and that they would help to become everything that you are calling them to be, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited to be able to share on communion today. A lot of times we just take communion, but I really felt in my heart that I was to encourage you and to help bring greater revelation, I believe, that's been in the Word the whole time. But it's, again, the fact that we've looked at the Word of God as, or through, natural eyes. And so we tend to put everything that we see and hear into what we can understand, what we can receive. And I believe that today
there's going to be a greater impartation, a greater revelation, greater understanding of what it means when we take, I'm not going to take it now, so don't worry, I'm not going to get too far ahead of you, but when we take the bread and the cup, I'll sit it right here because I'll maybe use it during. We take the bread and the cup and we eat the bread, drink the juice in the cup, and what takes place supernaturally, spiritually inside of us when we do that. And I believe manifests into our physical being. So with no further ado, why don't you turn with me? I'm in John, so John 17, we can start right there. Now some of you, when you hear this, are going to say, well, this doesn't sound like a communion verse. Nobody else is laughing. There you go. John 17:20. That's a pretty good laugh, Glenn. Let's tape it and Jesse can push that button. It's our canned laughter replay. This is Jesus in his final hours before going to the cross. And we know that most people who are in their final hours, I know Pastor Dan could probably share this, seem to encapsulate the most important attributes of life in those final hours. They're probably not talking about their 401k or, unless they've got it all mixed up. They're probably not talking about, don't forget to mow the lawn next week. They're probably not getting into that kind of detail. They're getting into the substance of life and the substance of what's really important. So I believe John 17 is an encapsulation of Jesus' final prayer to the Father of who he is, what he desires, and what he wants to have accomplished in the disciples, and then, as it starts to say here in verse 20, in our lives. And so I believe we're hearing the heart of the Father through the Son. Keep in mind that if we see Jesus, he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father, Philip. So I believe that what he's praying is the Father's heart, Holy Spirit's heart. This is God's heart for us. And now, remember the communication that I have given to you and the Lord's been giving to us many times, is that we are not to look at the things that are seen, right? But we're to look continually and gaze at the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporary and the things that are not seen are eternal. I want to tell you, there's seeing things that are going on in this prayer, especially from this point on, that are really not seen to us. We can't see them. And so they can be overlooked. They can be, kind of just pushed to the side again and say, well, I don't quite understand that. Or maybe I understand it to this much and this is all that I'll walk in. But let's not do that today. Let's open up our hearts. Let's let our spirits, take this and run with it, because our spirits are connected right now with the Father. Our spirits know this. So we just need to let our spirit say an amen to this, and then let our soul follow along, our mind, will, and emotions. So let me read this, and then we'll go on from there. 17:20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you and I. Now, we haven't heard the word directly from the disciples, but we have heard it from the person who heard it from the disciples to that person who heard it from the disciples to where it eventually got to us. I don't know how many generations that is. That's a lot. Over 2,000 years of testimony and witnessing, and you and I heard their word. It says that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world.
O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known you that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and you will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. So verse 21 says that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, this is the belief that I've had for this scripture for a long time. And it is true, but we miss the greater, I believe, grace and the greater empowerment that's in the scripture. For the longest time when I read that, that they may be one as we are one, I've always thought that that means that just that us as believers are all going to be one, that we're all going to, you know, come to some kind of common grounds. You know, this scripture is used a lot when people come together for a joint multi-denominational meeting and they say, we're going to be one as you are one, and we're going to set aside our differences for now, and we're going to have a meeting together, and that's the oneness. And I don't believe that that's what he's talking about at all. Now, I do know that we're one body. We are one body. And we are many different parts of the body. And I don't ever think that a foot is going to be a hand. Does anybody think that? Or a head, which Jesus is the head, but let's just say, how about, a shoulder is going to be a knee. Just picture that in your imagination. That's going to be really weird, isn't it? The shoulder can only move a certain way. I don't think the knee, it would be able to work if you had that kind of movement. But my point being is that we're going to be diverse. It's very clear, you know. I don't think we're all going to think the same and we're all going to act the same. And if we start doing that, what we have is copycats. We don't have really what God's after. I believe he wants us in our individuality to be one, to be united in spirit and truth. But I believe something else is going on here than even our oneness, even though our oneness is very important. Because I truly don't believe that we can have our oneness until we have the oneness that he's talking about. Because if you look here, he says that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So what kind of oneness is he talking about? Is he talking about our group oneness? No, he's not at all. He's talking about his oneness with the Father. He's talking about, Father, I'm in you and you're in me. Now, Father, I'm praying that that same oneness, that same common union that we have would be theirs. So what he's really praying here is, I'm praying, Father, that the relationship that I know with you would be in them. Father, I'm praying that the oneness that we get to experience and live in, that would be theirs. That they would know you as I know you, and you would know them as you know me. In other words, Father, I pray that the fullness that you and I have, they would have. Wow. That's Jesus' final prayer. Not that we would all be connected arm in arm singing Kumbaya, but that we would be so connected in spirit and in truth with the Father that no matter how bad your outward character may be, I can know Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because I don't see you again through natural eyes, I see you through the Spirit. That they may be all one as you, Father, in me and I in you, that they may be one in us. So to be one in Christ is to be one in the Father. To be one in the Father is to be one in the Spirit. To be one in the Spirit is to be one with Jesus. I mean, you can't miss one if you're in the other. If you're in the Spirit, guess what? You're in Christ. If you're in the Spirit, you're in the Father. If you're in the Father, you're in the Spirit and the Son. What I'm trying to say is that being in God is just who you are. So many of us, again, try to have a relationship with the Lord. We try to get close to him. We try to experience, you know, him. And even sometimes our songs say, oh, come, Lord, come. You know, we need you. Well, he's here. He's here. When you're driving in your car by yourself and you don't even feel spiritual, he's there. He's in you. And get this, you're in him. Do you think this prayer came to pass? Or do you think we're waiting for it to happen? I believe what has to happen is that we have to have the dividing wall of separation that is hidden who we are removed. Because we don't need to go anywhere or do anything to be any more in Christ than we are right now. You can't read the Bible anymore to be any more in Christ than you are right now. You can't go to church anymore or sing enough songs or worship to be any more in the Father than you are right now. Yeah, wow. So then we start looking at the natural. Oh my goodness, but I've got pimples, I've got dents, I've got inconsistencies that don't measure up to what you're saying, Pastor Mike. So what? While we do not look at the things which are seen, we look at the things which are not seen. The things which are not seen in this passage is that we are one with him. And it cannot be denied. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to another verse. How about 1 Corinthians? No, we'll save that. Sorry. Even if I didn't tell you, so you can't be mad at me. Where I didn't say we weren't going. Okay. Hang on. Okay. Yeah, let's go to John chapter 6, verse 53. John again, exactly. That's 11 chapters back for you who are into math. It says here in John 53, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. And some will say, well, he was talking figuratively. He was talking about that just having a relationship with him was like eating his flesh and drinking his blood. I know it sounds rough, doesn't it? Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But he said it, I didn't, okay? Again, I'm just reading what he said. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. That means make him stand up. That raise up doesn't just mean raise you from the dead. No, he's going to make you stand. He's going to give you the ability to stand in the last day. And for me, when someone stands, it means that they have a firm foundation. When someone stands, it means that they're in a place of like confidence, wouldn't you say? Okay. Now listen to this. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. My flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. What kind of food could he be talking about? Because this is really not going to give me much nourishment, right? My blood is drink indeed. As the living Father sent me, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. So there's a living and abiding that takes place in eating his flesh and drinking his blood. You guys are like, ooh. My wife's going, ooh. So I know. So, the punch, the juice. Okay, I'll put it down. I could sip some, or then some of you think I'm getting ahead of the course. But He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, or lives, dwells in me. As the living Father, dwells in me and I in him. So there we go. What did he pray? Father, I pray that they would be one as you and I, Father, are one. I in you and you in me. Or you and me and I in you. It doesn't make any difference. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So I know you're saying, Pastor Mike, how can this be? You keep pointing to this. Jesus is the bread. Yes, he is the bread. But he has, through a divine act, made it so that we, even though we're not looking at the things that are seen, we, through something that is seen, can participate in a supernatural event that's not seen. And that's what they were having a problem with, because he was talking about bread from heaven. They're going, we know bread from heaven. That's what Moses and the children of Israel ate in the desert. And he says, I'm here to tell you that I am that bread from heaven. Wait a minute. No, you can't be the bread. You're a person. Immediately they're looking at the natural. He was trying to say, that bread from heaven was me. That life that they lived on in the desert was me. I was there. I was the one that was feeding them. How many are lost? Come on, honestly. Raising my hand. Okay, there we go. Okay. Thanks, Wilma, for being honest. Everybody else can come up here and teach us then. No, just kidding. Let me go to another verse. I think it will help. Maybe. Luke 22:19. Oh boy, gotta hurry. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. That word remembrance means to use your mind to recollect, to reconnect, to make it so that your thoughts and your imagination is remembering what I did. We just again go, remember him. Yes, Jesus, thank you. No, use your thoughts, use your focus, make it so that you're making your mind remember what Jesus did for you. If you have to imagine him on the cross, imagine him on the cross. Somebody say, that's like, come on, guys, you can imagine everything else. You can watch a show and you can go to bed at night and start imagining things that you're going, Lord, forgive me for that. So you can imagine him on the cross. That's not idolatry. That's your Savior. That's the one who's redeemed you. That's the one who's bought you. That's the one who paid the price for you. You can imagine him on the cross for you. You can imagine your sins planted on him. You can imagine that blood that flowed down from his legs, from his arms, from his side was shed for you. You can do that. That's what he's saying. Do remember me in remembrance of me. Don't let it be something trifle. Don't let it be something that's traditional. But let it be something that is habitual. I'm here to tell you, we don't do communion enough. I've had, amen. Barb's like, yes. Thank you, Jesus. He finally got it. No. The reason I'm saying that is because I don't want to do something so often, and this is why I've had it this way before, so often that it becomes, we're doing that again. I want it to always be treasured. So that's why I decided to not do it as often. But as I've studied these scriptures, the words that are used for as often are really as you continuously do it, or the more that you do it. See, they broke bread from house to house every night in the New Testament, because they knew the power of this event. So I'm asking for your forgiveness for doing it once every 2 months.
What it's going to be, I don't know. Could be sitting here every Sunday from now on. Could be that my wife and I may come to your home and sit down with you and break bread with you. Or others in this body may start to do that. I don't know. But I'm telling you, and I'm here to say, that the power of the oneness, the common union, that's what communion means. Common union. It means oneness. It is our celebration of us and him in us. I've always said, well, you know, God's healed people. It's not that just the spirit of healing comes. It's that you're participating with the divine DNA of God, and it does wonders in your body. Praise the Lord. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup. Try to keep from shaking it. Took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians 10:16 says it this way: "This cup of blessing which we bless, is this not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Is it not the common union? Is it not the oneness with his body? Is it not the oneness with his blood? Absolutely. Absolutely. This is not mere juice and a wafer of bread. Oyster cracker in this case. This supernaturally today will be the body of Christ. This supernaturally today will be the blood of Christ. And if you have ears to hear and a heart to receive it, then receive it. There were many that day that could not receive what he said. Many left that day because of what he said. This is four scriptures I've given you. My blood, my body. My body, my blood. This is Paul reiterating, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion or the common union of Christ, of the blood of Christ? We're talking about the same word that we use for fellowship, the same word that's used for partnership in the faith. Koinonia is that word in the Greek. But our word communion means common union. One more, and then we're going to participate in communion. I believe with fresh revelation of what's going to take place. This is Paul saying in chapter 11, "For I received," verse 23, "for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now this is Paul who's saying, "I received this from the Lord." Paul was an apostle who was not in the same time interaction with Jesus as the disciples. But Jesus, I believe, supernaturally, divinely visited him and taught him things. This is one of the things that Paul was taught. It goes directly in agreement with what the disciples record in Luke and Matthew, and I think also Mark. It says, that same night he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Do this remembering what I did. Do this making your mind remember, making your heart remember the act of Calvary. Making your heart and your mind remember my shed blood. Making your mind and your heart remember my broken body. In the same manner, he took also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." That's where it says "as often." It says "continuously" is basically what it's saying. On a regular basis, as often you do this on a regular basis, as you drink it in remembrance of me. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim or you preach or you declare the Lord's death till he comes." This, my family,
is more than just a tradition. This is more than just a symbolic representation of participating as a Christian in an act of worship. This, my family, is an opportunity for us to experience oneness with God. Many of you desire oneness. Many of you desire to have a deeper, closer relationship. Well, I'm trying to tell you, you already have one, but I believe this is an opportunity for us to remind ourselves of our oneness with Him. To remind ourselves that we are broken with Him. That somehow supernaturally, our blood is mixed with His blood now. So would someone go down and get the children? Hey, Barb, can you grab the children? Let them know we're ready. For the longest time, I have looked at this as an event that God comes and manifests His presence. That it is a powerful moment. But I have sold it short. And again, I ask for your forgiveness. That's one thing about revelation is, you know, as you receive the revelation, now you're accountable for what you receive. So from here out, I'm going to be more accountable for how we handle the Lord's body. How we remember Him. Because I believe that as we take this more often, and families, I'm telling you to take it at home. You don't need a pastor. You don't need a priest. All you need is a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness and ready to enter into the oneness that you have with the Lord. Ready to remember that sacrificial, holy act that was done for you on Calvary. Jesus Christ taking on the form of the ultimate servant, taking your and my sin upon Himself, and then letting Himself be handed in to the hand of sinful man, and then having that sin nailed to the cross, and it being destroyed once and for all. See, it wasn't that you were just going to be forgiven of your sins and that God didn't remember your sins. It's that your sins disappear. They're gone. They were destroyed. They have no power here anymore. Only power that they have is the power that you let the enemy believe that they have in your life. But we're one with Christ. We're one with the Father. We're one with the Spirit. And I believe Jesus' prayer in John 17:20 is real. And it has come to pass. And I am one with Him. And so today, the children here? Right? They're on their way. Okay. Huh? They're at Franklin Park. They're at Franklin Park. Hopefully not. So today, when we take communion as families, as believers, I want you to really take a moment. It may take us a little bit longer. And each one individually, we can pray as a family and someone can pray over it, but each one individually, I want you to take some time. It may take a while. Maybe you'll need to go over and sit down, go back to your chair. I want you to remember the Lord's death. I want you to take some time. I want you to remember His broken body. Now, if you don't remember His broken body today, I encourage you to go get the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and watch that. I believe that you'll be able to picture in your mind His broken body from now on. When they're dragging Him away just from His scourging, the trail of blood that's left, His shed blood, I want you to remember that. Not to be grotesque, not to make it so that you feel sad and regretful for everything that you do. No, so that you can then celebrate the oneness that you have with Him. So that you can then remember and preach, even to yourself, the Lord's death till He comes. And the power that I'm going to set it down.
And the power that that brings.
Praise the Lord. The children are tarrying. They must be having a really good study. Praise the Lord. Could we get a little music, Nick? A little music? A little dabble. I hear him coming. Yep. Praise the Lord. Now, it's okay if I just recap with them really quickly. I promise, really quickly, okay? 30 seconds? You think they'll get it in 30 seconds? Hi, guys. Find your place with your family. So what is this? Who can tell me what this is? Kid, children, what is this? Someone that came up. That is bread. It's a cracker. Today, what is it going to be? Jesus' body. Thank you. Harper, that's so well said. This today is going to be Jesus' body. And it means that you're one with him. It means that you can receive the same kind of life that he has in heaven when you participate with this. Okay, so what is this? Bella? This represents Jesus' blood. This is juice. But today, when we drink it, supernaturally, it will be Jesus' blood. So we're not going to take communion just like we normally do and just take it and drink it and then go sit down. What I want you to do, children, when you receive this piece of bread, remember, make your mind picture what Jesus did for you. If you have to picture him on the cross, if you have to picture him being betrayed, if you have to picture him, you know, having people yell at him, however it is that you can relate in your heart to what Jesus did for you with his broken body. And picture his shed blood. Maybe you picture that his shed blood was released so that you could be totally free from your sins. However you picture in your heart. So don't just take it quickly. Let's take a moment with each part of this communion, common union with God. And let's receive the full work today. I believe there's going to be testimonies all over the place of a greater, deeper, more tangible life in God. Something that we have looked at for so long with natural eyes, looking at the things that are seen. But there's something that's not seen here. There's something that is more real than these two things is eternal. Jesus' blood somehow was shed from the foundations of the earth. I don't understand that in this tangible realm, in this finite realm. I don't understand how this could be, his blood could be shed before anything was even created. But in God, his blood was shed before even the world's foundation, before it was even made. So if it's that powerful that it was there then, how much more powerful do you think it is today after the event? Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to say a simple prayer. You can play a little bit, Nick, and then maybe Glenn after he goes with his family. You can be with your family. Is your family here? Okay, good. Father, we thank you for our oneness with you. Oh, and we so often struggle with it, Lord. We look at what our natural life looks at like, and we can't truly see who we are in you. So today, Father, I pray that as each one of us takes time to remember your broken body,
to remember your shed blood, to consume those elements, that the oneness that we have with God would even affect our natural DNA. God, that sickness and disease would have no place in us. That the sin nature would just be destroyed and killed because there's no sin in you. There's no shadow of turning. So we receive that oneness today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your broken body. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood. We receive now with grace, Lord, this work of a common union today, communion with you today, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hopefully, we will see manifesting in the coming year, this year especially, a greater revelation, a greater understanding of what it means to be in common union with the Father and with the Son, with the Spirit. What it means to take communion on a habitual basis, not in a traditional way, but in a way of remembering, recalling what Jesus did for us, and then living out that full work, that manifestation of that. God bless you all. Love you. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Amen.
Amen.
Time.